We are very happy and we are very, very fortunate to have with us none other than His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj. I wonder what pious activities we did in the past. We must have done huge sacrifices for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord that He would grant us such mercy. So make the most of it. Seeing, I was just sitting here, they just put the microphone here, so I guess I'll start, just, it's a sort of default situation. But then, whatever confusion I induce amongst you, Maharaj will clear that out. So, that's good. So, I was asked to speak on this, and indeed, I will actually speak on two verses. From Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 11, The Universal Form, and we will read verses 31 and 32. However, before we do that, just repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. O Lord of Lords, this is Arjuna speaking. O Lord of Lords, so fierce a form, please tell me who you are. I offer my obeisances unto you. Please be gracious to me. You are the primal Lord. I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is. That is setting scene 4. Verse 32, Lord Krishna responds, Sri Bhagavanavacha, Kalosvi lokachaya krit pravrito, lokan samahartam iha pravrita, ritevitam na bhavishyanti sarve, ye vaskita prat yanikeshu yomta. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds, and I have come here to destroy all people. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although Arjuna knew that Krishna was his friend and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was puzzled by the various forms exhibited by Krishna. Therefore, he asked further about the actual mission of this devastating force. It is written in the Vedas that the Supreme Truth destroys everything, even the Brahmanas, as stated in the Katha Upanishad 1.2.25. Yasya Brahma Chashantram Cha Upe Pavata Odana Mrityor Yasyo prasechanam kaita veda yatrasam. Which means, eventually, all the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and everyone else are devoured like a meal by the Supreme. This form of the Supreme Lord is the all-devouring giant. And here Krishna presents himself in that form of all-devouring time. Except for a few Pandavas, everyone who was present on that battlefield would be devoured by him. Arjuna was not in favor of the fight, and he thought it was better not to fight. Then there would be no frustration. In reply, the Lord is saying that even if he did not fight, every one of them would be destroyed, for that was his plan. If Arjuna stopped fighting, they would die in another way. Death could not be checked, even if he did not fight. In fact, they were already dead. Time is destruction. And all manifestations of are to be vanquished by the desire of the Supreme Lord. That is the law of nature. I'll read these verses again. Akyani Menko Bhavan Ugrupo Namoskate Deva Varapasuda Vigyatavich Chani Bhavantamadhyam Nahi Pajanani Tava Pravritim. O Lord of Lords, so fierce a form, please tell me who you are. I offer my obeisances unto you. Please be gracious to me. You are the primal Lord. I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Kalos Viloka Chaya Krit Pravrito Lokan Samahartam Iva Pravrita Rite Pitoam Na Bhamishyanti Sarve Ye Vasita Prachin Keshutu Yanikeshu Yodha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds, and I've come here to destroy all people. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaneshya Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Vastrachyaya Shukharine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasini Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 So this verse is coming right at the towards the end, at least, of the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And the 11th chapter is titled The Universal Form. I think the great majority of you would be aware of the basic idea what happens in that chapter. It's very famous. Arjuna asked Krishna, well, in the 10th chapter, Lord Krishna told Arjuna about different manifestations of himself within this world. And also in the 7th chapter, there's some verses like that. Raso ham apsu kanteya. I'm the taste of water. I'm the light of the sun and the moon. So there's a number of verses like that. A few in the 7th chapter, then in the 10th chapter, there's quite a number. Krishna is saying that amongst different special features of different types in the material world, he is the most special of bodies of water. He is the ocean of mountains. He is the Himalayas of fish. He is the shark and different things like this. And so like this, Krishna explained to Arjuna in the 10th chapter. And then at the beginning of the 11th chapter, Arjuna asked Lord Krishna, please show me this. You said, I am this, I am that, I am so many things. Please show me how you are those things. And then Lord Krishna showed Arjuna the universal form. Actually, Lord Krishna had to give him special eyes. In the verses, those eyes are called Divya Chakshush, in order to see that form, because it's just, well, it's not something that our human eyes are adjusted for. So Lord Krishna gave Arjuna Divya Chakshush, which basically means divine eyes. Or we do read actually in the chapter that the demigods saw that form. Some of the celestial demons within this universe saw that form. So Divya Chakshush then, not necessarily meaning like transcendental spiritual eyes, but some higher type of material vision, divine, or just something higher, celestial, like that. You know, if it was actually divine and transcendental and spiritual, how could the celestial demons have seen, or even for that matter, perhaps many of the demigods? So Krishna gave Arjuna those eyes. Arjuna saw that, and as I think most of us would be well aware, it was a very overwhelming experience for Arjuna. First of all, he saw certain parts of the universal form which were impressive, beautiful, and quite dramatic. But then Arjuna is looking around because it's everywhere. It's just everywhere. He cannot not see it now. It's basically all pervading. So looking around at different parts of that universal form, then Arjuna's gaze focused on a particular part of the universal form that is called the Kala Rupa, the form of time. And time, as it really acts, if you see the whole picture of how time acts in this material world, then it is not just like how we experience time or see time acting on an everyday basis. Just, you know, time is passing. We get up in the morning, we have to do this and that, and go to work and come home. So we know time is passing. But if we see the whole picture of how time is acting, well, that is really something. And Arjuna saw that. And indeed, Srila Prabhupada in the purport mentions that. That he saw how, in that Kala Rupa, that particular part of the universal form, the form of time, He saw how all the warriors on the battlefield were running into the mouths of that universal form, which had many mouths. And that universal form was just eating them up. Just eating them up. Chomping them up. Crunching them up in his teeth and swallowing them. Wouldn't that be dramatic to see? Well, Arjuna saw it. Yes, everyone is being devoured by time. And, you know, we like our beans curry. Yeah, I like beans curry too. It's nicely offered to Krishna. But the universal form, he may also like beans curry, but he also chomps up people. So, sure. In Mauritius, I asked the devotees, what is the favorite prasadam of the devotees? Sushi Jagannath Baladev Sabhadravedi Kija. I asked the devotees, what is the favorite prasadam? And they said, well, French, you know, I don't think so many of us of yourselves understand much French, but they said, gros pois. Literally, it means big peas. So I asked them, oh, okay, gros pois, big peas. Can I see? They showed me. You know what they were? Beans. But the universal form, Arjuna saw, he's just eating these people. Just like that. And in different ways, Arjuna's looking around, that particularly that Kalarupa, the form of time, and he saw all this destruction and death and things being smashed and destroyed and devastated. And he became overwhelmed. It became too much for him. Seeing that death and destruction and killing on that scale. So Arjuna became overwhelmed. He collapsed. And he didn't know what to do, how to respond. So what he did, he offered obeisances. It is nice to offer obeisances. In the good old days, I remember when I joined our temple in London, every morning we'd get up and everyone would offer their obeisances to everyone else. It was just a whole big festival of obeisances. And it was very nice. So Arjuna, he got into that mood. He was offering obeisances to Krishna from the front, from the left, from behind, from the right, from all sides, from any side, just on and on and on. He couldn't even say anything. All he could do was offer obeisances. And then he asked this question. Who are you? Who are you? What's your mission? What are you doing here? And Lord Krishna replied, Kalosmi. I am time. Lokit Shayakrit Pravridho. And my mission is to engage everyone. This is a very cultured way of saying to destroy everyone. That's my mission. Arjuna was confused because up till now he had thought that Krishna is my friend. Not just friend like, you know, in an ordinary sense, but close, intimate, friend, relative, cousin, brother, and very close, affectionate friend. They would sit together, joke together, and laugh together, and eat together, and relax together, and do so many things together, just in very intimate relationship as dear, dear friends and cousin brothers. And then suddenly, Hare Krishna baby, Shanti Shanti, something extremely important happened. Some devastating loss. Okay, come back when you get over it. We don't put these things behind us. Move forward. So, suddenly he sees the universal form and the same dear, dear, affectionate, warm-hearted, gentle, loving cousin brother Krishna is just killing, eating everyone. Can you imagine your dear friend, your dear relative of so many years you've been together through thick and thin, and suddenly gets up and grabs a machine gun and just starts wiping everyone out in front of you? It would do something for you, wouldn't it? So that's what happened. And then starts eating them. So we understand why Arjuna was puzzled. Will the real Krishna please stand up? So it's a good question, actually. Who is the real Krishna? Is it the nice, loving, friendly, helpful, merciful Krishna? Or is it this, you know, ghastly, shocking, human-eating person, Krishna? Sure, now that's a question. So, of course, the answer to the question is that the real Krishna is the loving, intimate friend Krishna. That's the real Krishna who we all have an eternal relationship. Now you can understand if people were to get the idea that this Krishna, the people-eating Krishna, is the real Krishna, they might well think, do I really want to have an eternal relationship with this person? Or should I just stick with my friends from Phoenix? So who's the real Krishna? It is that loving Krishna, merciful Krishna, kind Krishna. And the universal form is actually not even really a real form of Krishna. Not exactly. Not like Jagannath is a real form of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya is a real form of Krishna, Lord Ram and so on, Narasimhadev, Vamana, Varaha, Kurma, all these well-known avatars, forms of the Lord. So they're actually Krishna in person. Universal form is something else. It is, well, Srila Prabhupada uses the term imaginary form in the sense that, as we mentioned, as Krishna says, I am this, I am that, and I am so many things. Even Krishna says, I am the gambling of cheats, as well as being amongst fish, the shark. It is not that when, if you happen to be swimming at, you know, Durban beachfront, and you see a shark, it is not that you should think, ah, there is my log. Oh, let me swim out and embrace him. Take the dust from his lotus fins. Or if you see some gambler, you know, out on the street. One time when South Africa was still, you know, apartheid South Africa, our then GBC, Bhagavan Das, some of you would remember him, he came, but he needed a visa. He didn't have time to get a visa. So he came through so-called independent Transkei. He didn't need a visa for that. Transkei. Yeah. And then we had to take him to somewhere within South Africa so everyone could come and meet him, but somewhere where he wouldn't get caught. If he was in Durban, prominent personality might be in the newspapers, and they might understand he didn't have a visa and come and arrest him. So we had to find some quiet place way down the south coast. So we went to different places, Margate, Ramsgate, trying to find some place. And you know where we went? We went to the wild coast. We did not go to the wild coast to do any of those things. But we went to see what the accommodation and so on was like there, because we thought we might have to use that. So Medavi Prabhu and I, if you remember Medavi Prabhu, we had to walk in and check the place out. So we walked in, and you come in through the gambling area, and we did not utilize the facilities there, I promise you. But we had to walk through. It's the only way to get in. So we're walking through, looking around, and we saw some people we recognized. Didn't I see them at the Sunday program? We saw some people we recognized. And that was interesting. But what I found most interesting was these little old Indian aunties, grannies, you know, actually grannies, in their saris at the machines. I'm serious. I'm serious. But we were disguised, so they didn't know who we were, but we knew who they were. Yes, so. So, Krishna says, I'm the gambling of cheats. It doesn't mean that we should now go to, what's it called? Anyway, one of those places. This one here is closed, isn't it?
Yeah.
They went bankrupt. You know, I don't know what happened, but they closed. That's good. But the other one further up, towards Tonga, isn't it? What's it called?
Sivaya.
Yeah. It's not that we should go there and find the most successful gambler and offer our humble obeisances. You are a form of God. No. What these things are, Krishna, at least in most cases, he's saying, I'm this, I'm that, as we mentioned. They're special features of the material world. And they're outstanding in their category. The shark is outstanding amongst the fish. He is, you could say, the king of the fish. So, and how is he so outstanding and powerful? And the shark has no natural predator who he is, you know, like a target for, except man. So how is he so outstanding amongst the fish? Because he is empowered by some special Shakti of Krishna's. Krishna's Shak Shakti. And I don't mean, is it the football team or the rugby? I'm not referring to them, but I'm referring to the real Shaks. They have Krishna's Shak Shakti, and nothing can stop a Shak. At least a big Shak, you can't stop it. So it's empowered by Krishna. But it is not that, it is Krishna. And it became like the taste of water. Let's face it. Krishna.
Well,
it's just something very outstanding and very special. Without water, without the taste of water, there would not be life. So it's really special. But it's not that the taste of water is actually, you know, an incarnation of Krishna, an avatar of Krishna, like that. But still, it's worthy of recognition because of its outstanding nature. And the universal form is basically the collection of all these. That's what it is. All these features of the material world, including time, which are very outstanding and very, you know, dynamic and powerful like that. So therefore, in that sense, the universal form is not exactly like a regular form of Krishna who appears in this world and kills demons and teaches things. So therefore Prabhupada calls it an imaginary form. So the real Krishna then is that intimate loving friend Krishna. Of course Krishna sometimes, we were talking about this a little this morning, I mean related subject matter. Krishna is very merciful, like as Vasudev, he saved Prahlad like this. And Krishna's very kind in that sense. Sometimes Krishna, to help the devotee, sometimes Krishna does give, you know, a wake-up call. He lets the devotee, he gives a test that, come on, don't be apathetic. Pull yourself together. Don't get lazy. Sometimes Krishna sends some wake-up call, some test. And on the surface, it may look difficult. And the devotee may think, oh, this is what a thing this is. And even some devotees may wish that, you know, I wish it didn't come. But actually, it's Krishna coming to help us, to prompt us to advance in our Krishna consciousness. So Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he would say, whenever I see that a test is coming, some challenge, I think, here comes Krishna in the form of a test. And in that way, a devotee can embrace a test and really work with it and not just be frightened and become possibly demoralized. So that's also Krishna. But even that is Krishna's mercy. When Krishna, well, Lord Chaitanya said, if you crush me in your embrace, or if you make me broken-hearted by not being present before me, you remain my worshipable Lord. Crush me in your embrace. I remember once standing in Vrindavan at the railway crossing in Chatikar. We were going to Radhakund and Govardhan. And we're just waiting there. I got out of the car, just waiting, looking around. Suddenly, two arms came around from behind, the possessor of the answers behind me, and embraced me, and then harder and harder until I couldn't breathe, and then lifted me off my feet, and it was true. That's a crushing embrace. You know who it was? It was Govinda Maharaj. He's very powerful. So Lord Chaitanya says, if you crush me in your embrace, you embrace me so tightly it hurts. Or if you apparently, you know, you apparently go and I don't know, where are you? You're always my worshipful Lord. So we should understand like this. The merciful Krishna is the real Krishna. So now we will hand over to His Holiness Jayadwaja Swami Maharaj. Someone take the mic.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Our cell phones are up.
Surrender to Krishna. He will be forced to surrender. He
you don't want to offer obeisance, as Prabhupada said, you'd be forced to lie down flat. Krishna comes as time. Time means death. Mrityu sarva-rastra. Time finally means death. As vividly shown here. So there's, if you think that God is something imagined, but you can't think that about death. You can think it, but finally death doesn't care what you think. They don't accept that there's an ultimate cause with no other cause. But here's time. What's the cause of time? Is. It's not produced by anything else. Producing something takes time. They can't deny the all-powerful supreme controller. Just for them, he's time. Or death. And for us, he's Krishna. You can choose. Another feature of this verse
is that Krishna says,
Ritevi tam nava vijanti sarve. In the verse, it's translated, except for you, the Pandavas, everybody will be killed. But there's also another meaning, another way to read Rutevi. Without you. You're refusing to fight because you don't want Bhishma and Drona and so many others to be killed. But that doesn't matter. You fight or not fight, you're dead. Drona, Bhishma, what is that? Drona, Bhishma, Chajayana, all of them. It's not that because you don't fight, they're going to live. Their fate is already decided. I've already killed them all. And even without you, you're not the decisive factor here. I'm the decisive factor, and I've decided you're all going to die. With or without your fighting, you can run off or you can fight. Either way, they die. But my advice to you is you fight and become the hero of Guru Kshetra. Otherwise, you can go off and be a coward and be forced to fight under some other circumstances. You'll be forced by your nature to fight. But here you're avoiding your prescribed duty and thinking, fighting is terrible. I don't want to fight. How can I kill Bhishma? How can I kill Drona? And Krishna shows Bhishma, Drona, everyone, they're all dead. But you have the opportunity. You can be my instrument for this work. Or you can refuse. You take to see without. That much independence you have. Cooperate or refuse. But my advice is that you cooperate. Become my instrument. And become glorious. Otherwise, refuse and be ridiculed even by your sisters. Coward of Guru Kshetra. Be dishonored. The choice is there. Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Paritya Mame Kshetra. just surrender to me. Aham tvam sarvabhavebhyo mokshishyami. I'll protect you from all sinful reactions. I'll give you liberation. Your life will be glorious. The problem is that your life will be sublime. Otherwise, we can refuse. I won't surrender. And then we can accept the results of our sinful activities. We can save this material world. We can be degraded by the modes of material nature. Sometimes we'll be exalted, sometimes degraded. Because we're helpless under the modes of nature. Even the world itself is helpless. All living beings are withdrawn at the end of the kalpa, and then they come out again, and they're withdrawn again. Material nature's manifestations are expanded and withdrawn again and again. Avashatra, Prabhupada, Avashatra, helplessness. And we're thinking we're powerful. So we're meant to engage in devotional service to Krishna, surrender to Krishna. Otherwise, we'll be beaten up by the modes of material nature. Hare Krishna. Why is consuming of meat condemned when our teeth are built and shaped sharp? Why is killing people considered sinful when we have the capability to create AK-47s and various kinds of weapons? If God has given us the intelligence to create poison, why is it sinful to poison your wife? As the examples can be multiplied. Krishna gives some facility. If you want to eat meat, okay, you can do it. You're a human being, you can choose. Do it your way or do it my way. My way is no eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. But the facility is there. You can eat meat. You can get drunk, stoned, and all that. You can go to that place where I was just talking about and play the slots in your old age and your sonny. And you can have sex willingly. Just that we have the facility to do it doesn't make it pious or even smart. You can eat poisonous plants. You have the facility. Doesn't mean that it's smart. Doesn't mean there will be no reaction for it. So this is Krishna's direction. Pachyam pushpam phalam toyam. Fruits, grains, milk products. Beyond that, Krishna says, yagyashashashana santam. Mucyante sarva kalyasam.
take the remnants of sacrifice, Yogyashishta, Krishna Prasadam, and be free from all sinful reactions. Be purified. That's one option. And the other option is punjatetetakampapam yevachantyatmakarana. Cook for yourself, don't offer it. And eat lumps of karma in the form of sin, in the form of food. Eat all your sinful reactions because you haven't offered it, so you're accepting full responsibility. Whether an animal is killed or a plant is killed, now it's on your head. And whatever else went on, the way they exploited the workers, the way they cheated and did so many things. That's all in the package. So you can eat that and extend and deepen your entanglement in material nature. We have freedom. That's human life. The animals have no such freedom. If you're a cow, you eat grass. If you're a tiger, you eat meat. And therefore you're promoted, because the tiger never goes stealing grass from the cow. And the cow never sneaks off and grabs the tiger's meat. The animals all act exactly according to the bodies they receive. But this is human life. Human life means choice. So we can follow Krishna's directions and be purified, or we can neglect Krishna's directions and get deeper and deeper into the network of karmic reactions.
Do we not offer beings to the deity? No beings.
This is a very interesting question. Why are we not allowed to offer beans to our deity? That's what it says. You know, we offer dolls. That's a form of bean. But it's like a higher class of bean. Even though it's dried also, we offer fresh, like green beans, we offer those. But just in general, we try to offer Krishna the best. Because he is the best and he deserves the best. So we try to offer Krishna first of all, nice, fresh things of good quality. Like, we also don't offer to the deity, means it's called deity in the temple. We don't offer the commercial cheeses like cheddar and all that, even if it is vegetarian. I mean, they use vegetarian rennet. These commercial yellow cheeses, if you know what I mean. We make our own paneer. We offer that. In the case of the commercial cheeses, we don't offer them to the deity generally, even if they're, sort of clean in the sense that there's no animal rennet in them, but we don't use them because they're old. They're usually some days or weeks old. And we like to offer Krishna fresh paneer, for example. We make it and use it and offer it. So that's the principle. Just because something is vegetarian doesn't mean we have to offer it or eat it. Like, we don't offer Krishna grass. Yeah, we could do that. It's vegetarian. It's free. We could save the temple a lot of money. But it's not of a good quality. It's for the animals. That's what it's really for. So we like to use, you know, fresh things of really good quality. And that's why also for the deities, we don't use frozen vegetables, because they're old. Even though they're kind of in a state of suspended animation, you could say. But at the same time, it's not exactly that. You defrost them and you see they kind of, you know, they flop. They're just not the same as fresh veggies. So we like to offer Krishna the best, and beans generally, at least the dried beans, they are of a lower class. Even some beans we don't use at all, what to speak of not offered to the deity. We don't use at all. Like, what sort of dal is that we don't use? I forget the name. The word we use. Tur dal. Something like that. We don't use at all. We generally don't offer soya. I was told Prabhupada said, I think tur dal, in terms of protein, is more meat than meat. Something like that is just too high power. So we like to offer the best to Krishna because he deserves the best. So green beans are fine. Dal is okay also. Dal is good because it's just of a higher, it's a bean, but it's of a higher quality. But even all the dals we don't use those lentils, you know, the orange lentil is quite popular amongst health people. But we don't use that because it's also very passionate and it's not really sattvic in nature. And the beans, you know, if you eat beans a lot every day, sugar beans one day, dumpla the next day. And if you just live on beans, it'll be too much for your system. In different ways. I won't mention some of the names.
They're good for your heart.
Okay, they're good for your heart.
Lord Krishna uses the phrase in many places, in my opinion, the Lord is the absolute truth, so everything he says must be the ultimate truth. Then why does he say, in my opinion? Yes, everyone has his opinion, Krishna has his opinion, but you have the right understanding. Krishna is the absolute truth, therefore his opinion is the best opinion. Krishna is humble. He says, in my opinion. But his opinion carries, just like sometimes there are these big court cases and in the newspapers, and people talk about it and they say, well, I think, and everyone says, well, I think, and if it were up to me, but when the judge says, in my opinion, that's different from everybody else's opinion. That opinion is weighty. So Krishna says, in my opinion. And Arjuna, you can have your opinion. You taste your seat to Thakur. You can do as you like. In my opinion, you should fight. But if you have another opinion, that's your business. Krishna consciousness means one opinion. Krishna has his opinion and we all agree. And Maya means Krishna has his opinion and we have our opinion. That's called mine. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would also say, in my opinion. those who are intelligent just accept, yes. That.
Please explain the meaning of ecstasy in detail. People have written books about it. The basic point is that there are two points. One is that on ecstasy, all sin resides in grain. So any sin you can imagine, even the worst, it's there ingrained on the ecstasy by the special arrangement of the Lord. And so if you eat grain on ecstasy, you effectively, it's as if you performed all those sinful activities. Therefore we avoid particularly rice and wheat and wheat related type products. And we also avoid dhals, we avoid peas, corn. But then on the other hand, ecstasy is also called the day of Sri Hari. If we increase our chanting and our Krishna conscious activities, we can get more mercy from the Lord. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada said we must not eat grains, and at least he advised quite strongly we should increase our chanting. Many devotees, or even Prabhupada, at least recommended or mentioned 25 rounds. I remember when I joined, it was sort of like the thing. On a ecstasy, you basically chant 25 rounds. So these two aspects are there, a negative aspect and a positive aspect.
When we go back to Godhead, will we have a choice of who we want to be? When you go back to Godhead, you want to be what you really are. We're in the material world because we don't want to be what we really are. Jivam Sharupai Krishna, Krishnam Chidas, everyone is the eternal servant of Krishna. But the material world means I want to be something else in so many different varieties. I want to be a hotshot businessman, I want to be a movie star, I want to be airplane pilot, I want to be this, I want to be that. But when we give up Sarvapati Vinirmoktam, when we're freed from all of this rubbish, and we want to be Krishna's servants, then we go back to Godhead. And then when you go back to Godhead, you be what you already are. Everyone is eternally Krishna's servant, and that consciousness is revived. And everyone wants to serve Krishna in a particular way. That freedom is there. Everyone can serve in a particular mood. That is realized in the perfect state. First one has to become perfect, then one will realize who one is, what one should do. But the summary is that everyone is Krishna's servant. If you don't like that choice, you can still choose. You come back here, give it another go. That's not the choice that's made by the liberated souls. Their choice is always to please Krishna. Who we want to be, we are your servants of Krishna.
In the Ramayana, who did Lord Ram show the universal form to? I'm not a big Ramayana expert, I'm afraid. Who did he show it to, anyone know? Okay.
Ravana.
So I guess here we have the last question. Which is the correct mantra in respect of Tulsi Devi? Some devotees say Vishnu Bhakti, whilst others say Krishna Bhakti. What is the correct mantra, and what did Srila Prabhupada teach? You know what we're referring to? Vrindaye Tulsi Devi, Priyaye Kesavasya, Vishnu Bhakti, Krishna Bhakti. What is it? Well, I don't actually know what verse. I don't actually know the source of the verse. Do you know the actual source? I don't know if it's sort of Puranic or Vedic. The song we sing when we, the song we sing during Tulsi Puja, Tulasi Krishna prayer, see like that. That is like a more recent Bengali Vaishnava song. This other verse here, I'm not sure. But Prabhupada, to my knowledge, used Vishnu Bhakti. And if it is, the thing is, if it's like a Puranic verse or some actual Vedic shloka, then whatever the form is, you know, Prabhupada used Vishnu Bhakti, I would say that must be authentic. So it would be better to use that. We should actually check it out and see what is the source.
This is an old PBT question.
Okay.
It's a Shastric verse.
Okay.
The verse reads Vishnu Bhakti Pradhanevi, such as Bhakti Mohima. But some devotees were chanting Krishna Bhakti and someone brought it up to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that's about it.
Oh, okay.
As in, no big deal.
Right. So, go for it. Cherry Annie, as you like. Okay, now we're going to hand over to His Grace Prabhu Prabhu, our temple president, because he has some important matters to bring up to you all. So just stay where you are, don't move, and just listen carefully and do whatever he says.
Hi, Krishna. So thank you very much, His Holiness J.K. Swami Maharaj and His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj. I think we've been very blessed, like His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj said, we must have done some very auspicious, austere things to have the association of His Holiness J.K. Swami. He comes very seldom to Devon. And
if there are any sinful activities he performed in previous lives, then having to suffer my association
I'm not going to have any with Maharaj, because Maharaj is dead and he personally is flattering me, so I'm not really going to do it. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for your kind association. I just have a few things to say. This coming Saturday, the 24th, we're having what is called our monthly Sankirtan festival, where we distribute books and we distribute prasadam as well as the Bihari Nam going on simultaneously. The bus will leave the temple here at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning to go to Belgium. We will distribute books and do Harinam in the village of Belgium together with Michelle and Mr. Booth. Please come. We like this. This is a once a month activity, so you really shouldn't find any excuse not to come, actually. So please come, and then you can actually make this very, very exciting, because the more devotees that come together, the more enjoyment this process leads to. Very sweet, nice, and caring, personal activities in Krishna consciousness. My next wife may not be so nice, may not be so keen, so please forgive me, and I humbly thank you for giving us if I disturb anybody. But we're doing some renovations upstairs at the moment, so as many of you are aware or may not be aware. And we have one very nice devotee, his name is Shailendra Maharaj from the HR Maharaj Group. They have actually said that they will match every rank that we collect like that. So whatever we collect as a society, this family will match with me in terms of the renovation upstairs actually. So I am humbly begging, and I don't mean any disrespect to anyone. If you could all help in some way or the other, and I'm asking, my request is very simple, that if each devotee could place 1,000 rands towards the renovation upstairs, then that will help to go along actually. I don't mean to bust the bank, I'm not trying to force you into debt or into bankruptcy or anything like that. But if you can help, this will be really a very nice time to do so actually. For those of you who haven't been upstairs and you haven't seen what's going on currently, you can please go upstairs after the program, after Prashad, and you can actually see the extent of the renovations taking place. It's going to be a little while before we go out there, and the reason that we're trying to beg now, that we want to make sure that we can speed up the process of taking the lodgeships back to the state actually. So if you can help with this, it's going to be very, very nice. So I want you to inspire each other, unfortunately. So I'm not going to say Prashad, I'm going to say well, until you say something, unfortunately. Okay. There's some devotees, if you'd like, maybe you could raise your hands and say, you know, you pledge an amount that you would like to contribute. You don't have to give the Lakshmi now, but you could pledge in that way. You could try and see what the target is, actually. I see Timothy is outside, right there. They take their devotees. They actually sell the currency it takes to raise money for the renovations. So you can please support them also. It would be very nice, actually. I can't hear them. 2,000. Wow. So Janaki Maharaj said 2,000, and then Vishnu Maharaj said 1,000, and he's sitting right away at the front of actually. So please give them a huge round of applause. Plenipro? Okay, you don't want to disclose what it is? Then say it. Yeah, actually the idea of actually why I'm asking you is to say is that so that I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I'm hoping that somebody may be inspired to actually do something tangible. 1,488 rands. Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Now you 20,000. Anything is talked. That's the one? Oh, sorry, 5,000. Shabbalatni. 10,000 and Shabbalatni. Shabbalatni. 10,000. Sorry, thank you. What is it? 2,000. Thank you very much. Probably something's wrong because the Maharaj is, I mean, I know they have the blessings to the bank account, but still. Jepo? 1,000. Thank you. Jethro Prabhu is writing your names also, please make sure that he can see you. Let's go put your hands down. Hiraj Prabhu? 1,500. 1,500 is Hiraj Prabhu. Thank you very much. Going? 5,000. Jai. Thank you very much. Sunny Prabhu, 2,000 rands. Thank you very much.
My mother just died. Hare Krishna. I'm not trying to change the subject. But I'll also match everybody that everybody gives. Let's get it done. So come on, get into it.
Well, I'll match what they
whatever
we do. Look, I understand. If everybody gives 10,000 and you match, that's 10,000, then the donor matches you with 20,000.
Now he'll give 10. 10, 10, 10.
Yours doesn't count.
No. Well, we'll see.
Give it anonymously.
1,500 for one season. Prashant is getting cold, so you can put it in your hand. Another level? 1,000. Thank you very much, my dear. Krishna Leopu? 1,000. Thank you very much, my dear. We have 5 minutes. Ready? 500 minutes. Maybe you can be there. So, how old are you? So, that is 8 years old and she's spending 500 rand. There's something wrong with that society. Is the Mataji Siddhik something? Mataji? Abhi Mataji says to give 10,000 rand. Yeah. Who? Jackie? Jackie's close to 10,000. Thank you, Mataji. 1,500. 2,000. 3,000. Thank you very much. So, welcome. Thank you very much. Mataji? 1,000. Mataji. Thank you very much. Mataji, you are at the end. 1,500. 3,000, yeah. 1,000. Thank you very much, Mr. Kisane. 1,000, yeah. 8 minutes. March is a very high standard, so you have to live up to this.
There's one there.
Yes. 500, thank you very much. That is so much. Wow, thank you very much. Okay, so we have a few more people. Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Very well. Huh? 500 rand. Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am. 2,000. Thank you. 2,500. Thank you very much. Hi, 2,000 rand. Thank you very much. Dr. Ransom. Ransom. So we have Dr. Ransom and Ransom. So we have the real next person. 20,000, thank you very much. Dr. Ransom. Okay, I don't want to hold everybody to ransom, so we can stop the video. If you feel inspired by what happened, please try and make the agenda to myself or one of the devotees outside the top room so we can actually carry on. We have a little kirtan while the arati is going on, and then after that prasadam will be served in the tent outside. If you feel inclined, we can take you downstairs after prasadam to show you what the renovations are like. Thank you very much. Shiva Prabhupada, Shiva Prabhupada, Shiva Prabhupada, Shiva Prabhupada, Shiva Prabhupada, Shiva Prabhupada, Shiva Prabhupada.